Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from shaitan's rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWD.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Dear listeners, just a reminder, this is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned into a program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's, don'ts, and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. Now, dear listeners, while we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, please share the excitement and the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. To do that, you can just send a text, make a post, or invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, my dear beloved, esteemed listeners, it is my pleasure to present to you my co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the Persian, peace be upon him. And I'm Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, and producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that airs here on IWDM Radio each and every Thursday night. And we want to say to those of you that may be tuning in for the first time that we are about to approach our seventh year as we continue to march on toward October this year. It began on the sister station AM 360 radio. We also want to say to our listeners that may be listening for the first time, Quran and I want you to know that this is your learning lab. We want you to feel free and comfortable to be able to press 1 if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to add to anything of the information that is that we would say tonight on the Learning Lab. We do welcome your questions and comments. And also we want to say to those persons that may just listen in, generally don't have anything to say, if what you're hearing tonight resonate with you, and I would love to hear from you also. And you can do that by pressing 1. I want to say to those who may be listening by way of the Internet, and I'm aware of the fact that oftentimes we have quite a few those of you who are tuning in and listening in that are listening in by way of the Internet, you have to call in to the studio if you want to ask a question or make a comment, and we do welcome you to do that. And the number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. Quran has already said to you, this is our excellent opportunity where we give a little prelude to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab to call a family member, call up a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member. Most certainly you know somebody that is aspiring to get married, or maybe some newlyweds that just have gotten married, or our young people that are in the pubescent stage, puberty. This would be an excellent learning lab for them to tune in, especially that we own the premarital questionnaire, questions that should be answered under the various categories that of importance that you need to know about that potential mate. So, and this could be for even married couples also. They can also benefit from what it is that we will be giving tonight, and especially tonight because we're getting ready to embark upon interpersonal qualities, and this is a biggie, really, really a biggie. I want to say before I turn it back over to Quran that we have established a foundation for both of these learning labs, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab and also the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as the sources that we use. First is Al-Quran, and then the life example of the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran, and also the Tafsir, which is the clear explanation of the Quran and the life example of the Prophet by Imam W.D. Muhammad. Those are the sources that we use, and we also use other reference books from time to time in other publications, I should say, in other resources that we got, we get that would be helpful and beneficial. But those are the sources that we use for information education here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And also, we want you to know that this premarital questionnaire will help you to get to know about as much as you possibly can about that potential mate. The thing that we ask that you do, and Karen has already given you the information, she will give you the information the different ways that you can obtain this premarital questionnaire, whereas that you can actually go over it by yourself and answer all the questions just by yourself and reviewing them. And Allah bless you with someone, then they should be given the questionnaire and they should do the same thing in terms of going over it by themselves. And then when you get together, you can question each other. The prerequisites, and we'll say that each and every session that we have here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is that it requires basically four things. The first is sincerity, and we said the Prophet Muhammad was reported as saying that religion is sincerity. Religion is sincerity. So we want to use that because religion is sincerity. And we know the sacred institution of marriage is one half of the religion or the deen. And then the Prophet Muhammad, he exemplified the next two, which is honesty and integrity. So we made that a prerequisite, honesty and integrity. Now, he wasn't even yet the prophet, but he exemplified honesty and integrity. So you don't have to be a Muslim, but I'm quite sure that those of you who are not Muslim that are listening, I think you could see why that would be a prerequisite when you're trying to get to know someone and communicating with them and they communicate with you, the honesty and integrity. And then finally is transparency, to be open with each other, to be transparent. You don't want to uncover or discover skeletons afterwards and all. Also, I want to say, and this is to find out if there is a commonality, if there is a commonality. And this will say if, in fact, there could be a compatibility. And then Allah promises tranquility in the Quran. He promises tranquility for the right soulmate, the right helpmate, and all. And then Allah says he will put the love and the mercy between your hearts. So we see that love is not a prerequisite. You didn't hear me say that you had to be in love, had to fall in love, and all of that. Unlike many think from the westernized thinking, that you had to be in love or fall in love. You know, we don't want to do anything unconsciously. So we want to be conscious, but you want to be, you want to have sincerity, you want to have honesty, integrity, and transparency. And one other thing I like to say is that at any point in time, it could be a deal breaker, regardless of what the category is or the question is. You want to be very intelligent, civil in this discourse that you would have with that potential mate, but you also need to be very, very serious. You know, it's very serious. It's not a plaything in that regard. So you have to acknowledge if, in fact, that something is a deal breaker. And at that point in time, then you would part company. But you may have made a friend. And I think Karan mentioned that last week or what. Something should develop from that interaction, whether it be a friendship or a partnership. And actually, a friendship should develop even if you didn't know that person. And even if it develops into a partnership, then you have already evolved your relationship to a friendship. So as more we'll say about that as we go along, but tonight should be very, very interesting and very informational and educational. So with that being said, we always have some type of overview of the previous session last week, and to that we go to the very distinguished and esteemed Karan Shakir. Good to have you back, Karan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and it's good to be back. Alhamdulillah. And to our listening audience, Alhamdulillah, Mark did a great foundation for us to be reminded of why do we do this strategic search for a mate. And I love these four prerequisites that he offered. So last week we talked about those prerequisites, but also we talked about the fact that you should look for commonality to see if there will be compatibility. That's an important thing when you are searching for a mate. You're not just doing a search to say, are we Muslim and do we love Allah? Alhamdulillah, and now we're ready to get married. No. We say you look for the commonality to determine compatibility. And that determines if you will be able to live and work together with little or no conflict. And so that little or no conflict is very important too, because sometimes we think, oh, my tranquility is that there is no difficulty, there is no challenge. No, that's not realistic. We have our challenges to grow us. We also talked about the fact that you need to know yourself, your own upbringing, your own experiences, and your values to determine who you are and what you need. And with that, we said you go inward before you go outward in that quest and that search for a mate. So with the premarital questionnaire, you are on a fact-finding mission. You are looking to gather facts about a potential mate to determine the eligibility and the compatibility for marriage with that person. I love Brother Mark's use of the word. He's a wordologist, and he gave us this idea that, you know, we want to bond in a relationship, and that idea of bonding is built on your natural development and nurturing growth. And so we're looking at, there's some work that we're doing here. So my last points that I want to make for you before we get into this week's art of the pre-marriage questionnaire was that last week we looked at an element of the questionnaire that was on money management. And we want you to go back and listen to the archived session so that you can get the full details. But with money management on the questionnaire, we talk about the fact that so many of divorces end in divorce because of this one thing, money management. We have not asked the right questions. We have not done the due diligence prior to marriage, and then when we get into marriage, conflict, challenges occur because we didn't know. So there are certain questions on this questionnaire about money management, asking your current financial situation, where is their debt, versus assets, and what is the credit standing of that person. And Imam Muhammad, as we know, we talked last week about how he encouraged younger marriages, understanding that it will require the help and assistance of the adults in the lives of those young people. And so we are looking at the fact that sometimes we think, I need to wait until I'm older to get married, when we have just as many challenges, or probably even more, because we get set in our ways, the clay begins to harden. So let's encourage our young people to get married too and support them in this process. So if you are an established person in your marriage relationship, we don't discourage you from listening to the program where we're talking about the premarital questionnaire, because this helps you to guide and support those who are seeking a mate. And then my final comment when we talked about money management was Mark, our Workologist, acronym for money, making others' needs, especially yours. So we have to be financially stable in order to go into a relationship. And we had some really good questions surrounding money management. For those of you who are listening and you do not have access to our questionnaire, fret not, worry not. You can go on social media right now while you're listening to us. Go on social media to Facebook or Instagram and look for Bring It to the Lab. On those, both of those, we have the questionnaire, the link to the questionnaire, so you can follow along with us as we discuss it. And if you like, after the program, we can email it to you, and you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. But we are ready to engage ourselves this week as we look at interpersonal quality, so I'm very excited about that. But before I do that, since I've done this overview, I do like to just give you, Mark, an opportunity to make any responses or comments to what we've laid as the foundation on the mind of philosophy.
I have to say first, alhamdulillah, and for those who don't know what that means just the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost. For actually having this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, I think it's a long time coming, but very much needed and necessary. We can generally get licenses, and it requires something that you have to learn before you can get licensed for almost anything that you think about, including driver's license and everything. But we don't usually know all of this that we can and should really know about the sacred institution of marriage. You know, I once heard my good brother and friend and a scholarly imam, and we're looking perhaps to have him back here within the next week or so on as a special guest facilitator, the word matrimony. He said when you look at that word matrimony, you see two words. He said matrix and money is money. So matrimony becomes the matrix for being able to make money, you know. When you have a bigger responsibility other than just yourself, I'm speaking to the men now, it becomes igniter in the man, you understand, to want to provide for his family, to maintain his family, protect his family. So this becomes an incentive to make more money, you know, just like what Karan said that we had on the Learning Lab last week. When you make others' needs, especially yours, then this means that you have a bigger purpose. And Imam Muhammad gave us a beautiful framework in terms of being more productive. We have what the Imam term is created purpose. And he said the bigger your purpose, the bigger the effort. The bigger the purpose, the bigger the effort. Now we're talking about the sacred institution of marriage. So what would be the big purpose? The big purpose would be why Allah established marriage. That would be the big purpose, because this is his sacred institution. We can't attribute the sacred institution of marriage to no one else. We can't even say that it's our marriage. Once we understand that Allah established, whatever Allah creates and whatever he establishes, he's the owner of that. We're not the owner of that. So we have to seek Allah's guidance in terms of why this is such a very important and significant thing that it is that Allah is guiding us to do and why he established it. So that would be the creative purpose for the sacred institution of marriage, because it aids and assists in your growth and development. It brings about the maturation of the man and the woman in terms of the roles that they have to play as husband and wife, as mother and father, to family, and the responsibilities they have. If in fact that you didn't have that, then the growth would not, the one that that decides that I'm not going to marry, well, they never would have that experience in the growth and development that this sacred institution offers to those who consciously go into it knowing that this is part of God's will and plan. I got to say that because it's so very important. So this becomes the created purpose to be in accord with God's will and plan for you, as we are creation too. So we want to realize our full potential, and we want our children to realize their full potential. So even in that, the family life is supposed to come through the sacred institution of marriage life, where there is a commitment to do the right thing. And so thus you become a model. The parents become a model. Husband and wife, they are modeling what man and manhood is, woman and womanhood is, what a husband and wife is, and even furthermore, what a father and fatherhood is, what a mother and motherhood is. I'm hoping this is making some sense to you. So it becomes a model, you understand, for the next generation. And real idealistically, each generation, it should become better and better and better and better and better. So, you know, this Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab was designed to help to provide that type of information. And because we are Muslim from an Islamic perspective in terms of courtship, what it is that we need to do and all to make a determination, as Quran say, fact-finding. I like that fact-finding in regards to that potential mate and all. So we want to make sure that we have the communication piece really locked down so we have an idea of what it is that we should be talking about. Because sometimes you can become so overwhelmed, you can get stuck, you know, because somebody is interested in you and you're interested in someone. So we don't want just the emotions to flare up and you're just all emotional. And we don't, in al-Islam, we don't want to fall into anything. When we talk about falling, we're talking about being unconscious. We don't accept being unconscious. Imam Muhammad said the Muslim life is the conscious life. Even when we pray, he even instructed us to keep your eyes open. Don't go to sleep. Don't become unconscious. Don't just be a dreamer, you know. Be conscious and be consciously aware of what you're saying, conscious aware of what it is that you're doing, and all. This is very, very important. So I just wanted to say those things before we get into interpersonal qualities tonight. There's a lot of great information that I think will be disseminated tonight. I want to say to you to come to this learning lab with an open mind and an open heart and bring your pen, bring your pad. Hopefully you've already called about 9 or 10 people and made them aware, you know, love for your brother, what you love for yourself, and let them know that if they listen in, inshallah, God willing, that they will benefit just like you will. And with that being said, Quran, we ready to get going tonight in terms of interpersonal qualities.
Yes, indeed. And I just want to also remind our listening audience, you know, sometimes when we are going through these kinds of things, we may tune in thinking, I'm just going to get these quick facts and hop right off. Well, we believe in the slow cooker method to get the flavor out of this great food we're offering, the microwave. So it's not going to be a quickie where you just go in and microwave it and boop, boop, there it is right there before you. So we're saying to you, sit and stay and really marinate with us in this. And if at any point you feel like, ah, that's a good point, and I don't understand that, or I want to comment or that, or I have a question, we invite you as a part of our listening audience to push one on your phone, and we will definitely bring you into this conversation, answer any questions for you that you may have. We also invite you to go ahead again, invite someone to join you, and if you're listening online, join us in the studio. The way to do that is 714-816-4673. Dial that number and you'll be in the studio. And when you're ready to come on air, just put one on your phone and we'll bring you into the conversation. All right, so, alhamdulillah, we are now on interpersonal qualities. And with interpersonal qualities, before I mention the question of this, I want us to be reminded of what Allah says to us in his book. As you know, that is our foundational text. We use the Quran as that foundational text. And in Surah 9, Ayat 108, Allah says to us that he loves those who keep themselves. And when we talk about interpersonal qualities, we're talking about those qualities that make us who we are. And in many places in the Quran, Allah mentions those qualities that make us those whom he loves to bless and to reward according to the best of their deeds. And it is in the Quran that Allah tells us that there's a special group of people, and this special group of people, he talks to the servants of the Most Merciful. And so we want to be those people who are the servants of the Most Merciful. If you want to read about them, go to Surah Al-Furqan and look at Ayah 63 to 76. I'm not going to go through all of that right now, but I do want you to be on this journey of your own where you're looking to go inward to improve your own interpersonal qualities. So I'm going to start with our first question that you would ask a potential mate looking at their interpersonal qualities. And the first question has to do with a quality that our Prophet, peace be upon him, had. And people called him this. Even his enemies called him this. And that is one of honesty, truthfulness. So the question is, do you have a reputation for honesty? So to potential mate, what is your reputation for being honest? And, you know, let them answer. Hear what they have to say. You know, what is your reputation for being honest? Not, are you honest? What do you think about honesty and how do you feel about honesty? What is your reputation for honesty? I'm going to pause there, Mark, and let you respond. Let our audience soak that in.
Yeah.
If you have a question or comment on that, go for it.
Well, you know what? You know how that was worded, and I saw you put a lot of emphasis on reputation. And I remember years ago, I ran into a little saying, and it made so much sense, and I always shared the learning labs and workshops, presentations that I make. You know, reputation is really who people think you are. Character is who you really are. So in lieu of that question, is it just a reputation, you understand, that you have in regards to others, they think that you are honest, but is this really your character? And as Quran so eloquently articulated, the example for us is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very, very honest. Matter of fact, he was so very honest that when he was hired by his first wife, which was a monogamous relationship, 25 years with Lady Khadija Rahim Allah Anna, she had hired other men to manage her business, and that was a common thing at that time, that even women that had inheritance, as she had, and she was considered to be fairly well off or maybe wealthy by the standards of that time, but it was always a man that managed her business. And there was always a signed agreement, a contract. They had a contract. But she found that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and I'm referring to the prophet, but he was not yet the prophet, she made more profit. And I'm not, there's no pun intended, but Imam Muhammad used to say to us, he says, whenever you hear homonym, there's a connection. You're always going, and this is the connection. I'm going to just share this little gem with you for those who can accept it. Alhamdulillah, and those who say that doesn't move them one way or the other, you find more profit in your personal life when you follow the prophet. So it was Muhammad ibn Abdullah before he became the prophet, where he brought more profit to her business than any of the other persons that she had hired to manage her business. And she monitored to him in terms of watching him in his business dealing in transactions. She was so impressed. She was so impressed with his honesty and his integrity, as we just said, you know, in the premarital questionnaire, that became an attraction to her. And so consequently, she wanted him to be her husband. Now, I know some of the sisters is like, well, that was the prophet. That was Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But the brothers, y'all not the prophet. So you all should be pursuing us. I know the thinking there. But everything that transpired in the prophet's life, it should be taken into consideration. It wasn't just that she was a homely woman, that she was desperate or anything. She had many offers. She turned them down. She knew exactly what it was that she wanted. And she was attracted. We're talking about interpersonal qualities here. And Quran, she stated that it leads off with honesty. So you want not only per se to have a reputation by those who don't per se know you, but you want to make sure that this is part of your character, that you're honest, that you really are honest. This is a good interpersonal quality to start off with, you know, and as the prophet did before he became the prophet, this would lead to his first marriage. And it was the woman that pursued him because she was attracted to one of these qualities in terms of being honest, but also being very truthful and trustworthy. So this is a very important quality. And so if we are following the prophet, that we can actually profit from following the prophet in our life. All profit doesn't end in terms of just monetary profit. You actually can profit other components in your life when you follow the prophet. You generally don't get what you want, you get who you are. So when you understand you don't get what you want, you get who you are. So you want to be an honest person. And so if you're an honest person, then Allah can and will bless you with another honest person in that regard. And we should see that as an important interpersonal quality to have, because it was that the possession of Muhammad ibn Abdullah before becoming the prophet. And I think that this is very, very important. So you want to ask yourself the question, is this a part of your character? Is this a part of your character? Or are you just perpetrating, to be honest? And people actually believe that you're honest, and it becomes a part of the reputation for being honest, but when you know that you're really not honest, you're dishonest. So that becomes the question that we have to ask ourselves. And I want to say to our radio listening audience, Quran, and I would love to hear from you. The question is this, I'm posing to the radio listening audience, How important is that to you? If you're looking for a mate, how important is honesty? And I want to give you something, and I'd just like for the just to hear a few responses. From 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest, I would like to get a couple of few callers to call in. You don't have to say a whole lot. All I want to hear from you, and Karen, I want to hear from you, is how important from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest, in terms of interpersonal quality. Let's get some ones pressed here, and all you have to do is just say, even if you're married, so we don't want to accept the married people, and if you want to say more than that, that's fine, but I want to just see in terms of our regular listening audience to see how important honesty is. And this, you know, would kind of let us know that you're on track with what it is that we're saying. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to press 1, and all you have to do, if you want to give us a greetings, fine, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, or if you don't know the greetings, you're not Muslim, just say your name. If you want to say your name, if you want to remain anonymous, that's fine too. But let us know from 1 to 10, from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, how important is honesty to you? And then you can hang up. You can say, well, honesty is up to a 9 or a 10 for me, or it's not that important. Maybe it's only a 2 or 3 or something. So do we have any takers that press 1?
Yes, we do. You ready to hear from them?
Yes, most certainly.
Well, here we go. All right. We are going to hear from 404-368. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Say your name and where you're calling from. Let us see your answer.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Tawanda from Decatur.
Alaikum assalam, Sister Tawanda. Good to hear your voice. What would it mean for you? How you rate that from 1 to 10? How important is honesty as an interpersonal quality?
10.
All right.
She said 10.
Because
I think I know I'm very honest.
Alhamdulillah. Allah, why?
In the name of Allah, because honesty is, my mother, let me tell you something, my mother always said, if you can't deal straight, don't deal at all.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we read the Beauty of Sisterhood by Dr. Ramona Zakiya Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon her.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
If you don't have nothing good to say, don't say nothing at all.
Yes.
So honesty for me is very important because with honesty, see, if you're not honest, you could be a thief. A thief is a liar. A liar is a killer.
Yes.
So honesty
is
very important.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
Thank you.
All
so
right.
much, Tawanda.
Thank you for participating.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, indeed.
I think that was wonderful, Karen. I once had an uncle that when she said about if it be a thief and a liar, they go hand in hand because they're actually robbing you of the truth. Okay, press 1 to Wanda as you go out. We have other callers in the queue, Karen.
Yes, we do. We are going to welcome 423-888. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. What's your answer? You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
I
think honesty should be 10 with everyone if they planning on having a good relationship in a marriage. But I also want to ask you two, can you be too honest?
Okay. We're gonna give a response.
Let's go to our next caller, and you can push 1 to come out of the queue, sister. And our next caller is 708-557. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. What is your answer?
My name is Linda Whitfield. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Linda.
And that is my that is my sister. That's my blood sister, Linda Whitfield. I'm really happy. I'm almost in tears as you listen in. So what's your answer, Linda? How important is honesty from a scale of 1 to 10 for you?
Honesty is very important. Honesty, I would agree totally, should be the number 10, because without honesty, you cannot trust your partner. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a true relationship without honesty. So honesty is everything.
Yes. I agree with you. You can't have not the relationship that most people they desire or they dream of or they wish, they pray for and everything. And human beings, they want the best. But if, in fact, that you're not honest you attract somebody that is dishonest, you really are not going to have that dream relationship, nor what you wish, what you hope for, nor what you pray for. It's not going to happen because the dishonesty will continuously show up in the relationship to the detriment of this relationship, and eventually the dishonesty will destroy the relationship. It will destroy the trust. So the honesty, you understand, in the relationship, it brings about the trust to be able to say to trust them. If you give your word, you keep your word. And then that person will know that if, in fact, this even with a simple thing, when you are really, really, really honest, and that person, say, for instance, supposed to show up or supposed to do something, and they say reputation, but if you know that that's the person's character, and for whatever reason they don't show up, then it should come to your mind and your heart, something must have happened. Something must have happened. Because that's in the character of that person, to be honest. Something must have happened, and you should start thinking, you know, put the best construction around it. Something must have happened, because that's not like them. That was a part of their character. So you're absolutely right, Linda. You're right on point. And hey, Big Brother, I'm so proud of you just listening in and calling in, participating. I really appreciate it and love you much. Want you to continue to listen in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Press one, Linda, as you go out. And, Karan, do we have any other takers here?
That's it for right now. The rest are waiting for us to finish with these questions.
All right, Karan, we can't escape our sister Jomana's question. Which I think is a good question. You know, all questions are good. You know, she asked the question, Karan, can you be too honest, Karan?
And I want to say to that, I think that's a great question, because some people think, you know, you can be so honest that you push yourself out the door and people don't want to hear what you have to say, because it's like, oh my God, I don't want to be around them because they're so honest. So with that, I believe that honesty does have different levels, and depending on where people are in your life.
But
if it's a mate, I don't think you can be too honest with a mate. I don't think. I think that, you know, being above board is what honesty is. You know, sometimes there may be information you don't need to volunteer. So, for example, I did prophet peace upon him. He talked about, and this is not the exact example, because this is my head giving this out as I interpret it. But, you know, what if your mate says, how does this dress look on me? Or how do I look in this suit? And, you know, the first honest thought that comes to your mind is, child, you shouldn't do that. That may not be the best response, because that's the most honest response to come out of your mouth. So, you know, are you not being honest if you don't tell that mate that you shouldn't wear that? So there's a way to say that thing. I think you should always be honest, but there's a way to say the things you have to say. And sometimes you know, if they say, have I gained too much weight? You know, baby, you always look good to me no matter what your weight is. Have you been dishonest when you say that? Because the question is a yes or no question. Have I gained too much weight? And you didn't answer yes or no. You gave an answer that shows your love, right? So
yes.
I don't know that I'm answering that question, but I do know that there are times when you don't have to tell everything straight.
That's right.
That can be helpful, but you do tell the truth.
Yes. Well, you know, Karan, I tell you said a mouthful there. So it's just in terms of being conscious of the person's feelings in regards to that. But that old saying is really true. Honesty is always the best policy. It's always the best policy. So when we're dishonest, that's not the best policy. Because what generally happens is that eventually the truth comes out. Okay? And, you know, just to give an example, you know, sometimes when we are just dishonest with our mate, we just hold things in, you know, and it's like a tea kettle, you know, that is blow off steam and it whistles on it, and it begins to just whatever is in begins to just shoot up and shoot out. Mm-hmm. So we don't really want that to happen in the relationship. I think that the communication that you're giving in terms of how you disseminate that information in an honest way, in a sincere way, but in a loving and a caring way too, you know, with some compassion, appreciation, and respect should be experienced. That means that you care. That's the acronym for the word care. For those of you, as a word talented, you can put that in your pocketbook, or you can put it in your wallet, or you can throw it away. But care means that C represents compassion. So when you speak to your mate and you have to, as Karan so eloquently articulated, use an example, and sometimes I have to say this, and I know your sisters, you would have to agree, that oftentimes that we are going to be tested, brothers. We're going to be tested. It's just the nature of a woman to test that man just to see what is he going to say. You know, she has her feelings about whatever it is, but it is that she will test him and say, how do I look in this? She already has a feeling in regards to how she feels in that dress or whatever it is. But she wanted to see what it is that you would say. She already knows in most cases, I'm not going to wear this dress. I may have put on some extra pounds or what, and it just don't feel right. I don't believe I look so good in this dress, but I'm going to ask him and see what he says. Is he going to be honest? And how he's going to say it? What is he going to say? What's it going to be his response? And so then you have to know, okay, do you think you're going to get out of this life without being tested? Well, in marriage, you do get tested. And so now you got to be up for the test. You have to recognize this is a test. This is a test to see how honest you actually going to be. And how you say it, you know, will be make all the difference in the world in terms of how you say it. Because it should be something that, where you're showing compassion to her and appreciation in this word care. Compassion, you're showing compassion, but you want to show appreciation or that you value her more so than the dress. And then you also want to respect her feelings in regards to that, and that E stands for it should be evident, it should be experienced in the relationship. And it starts in terms of even in the courtship, in terms of that. So, brothers, we have to be very, very cautious. A lot of times, it's not a trap question, but it is just to see in terms of the honesty, the integrity that this potential mate would actually have. Or you may ask you a question in regards to something to see how you will respond to that. But honesty is always the best policy. You, as a matter of fact, you become a mirror for each other. It's not only in terms of just that. I mean, some men like to dress themselves, but some men are not very good at dressing themselves, and sometimes their wife can actually dress them better or coordinate colors better. And so sometimes men ask, well, how I look in this? He might have a polka dot a tie on with a pinstripe suit. He might like that tie. But she might have to vary with compassion and love and caring, say, sweetheart, I know you like that tie, and you do look good in that tie when you wear it with this other suit. But that pinstripe suit, I think it'll be a little bit too much. You might knock them dead, something jokingly. So look at this tie here. This looks a little bit better, and I like this tie better, and I think it goes better with that pinstripe suit than the polka dot tie. And then chances are, he said, yeah, okay, you're right. And he'll take the polka dot tie off because he respects your judgment and everything. But he just fell in love with the tie. He thinks he can wear that tie with any type of suit, but it doesn't go with any type of suit. So it's all in terms of how you it's not all the time, as my grandmother used to say, what you say is how you say it. But you want to say it with compassion. You want to say it with appreciation that you value that person and with respect, and it should be evident in the relationship, and it should be experienced. It should be experienced in the courtship, but also in the partnership too, and it should be a staple between those two. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, and then when it comes to, you know, being too honest, my grandma used to always say that there's a time and there's a place for any and everything. And so when you're meeting somebody, you don't want to begin to start to saying too much, too fast, too soon. Right. I'm going to say it again. You don't want to start to saying too much, too fast, too soon. And sometimes people think that they have to be in a hurry to tell them about the devastation they have experienced in their life and negative things in their life. You know, maybe that was back when. Maybe when you weren't conscious of what life was all about and your creative purpose or whatever, as we say, you know, in scriptural language, you was in the dark. Now you've been in light. Well, show that person who you presently are, first and foremost. And then when they get to see and understand who you are present, and they can appreciate you as a present, a potential gift that Allah, God has given, presenting to you as a potential mate, and then there'll be a time whereas that you could talk about something of the past that may have been the dark past. And we call that intimacy. Intimacy is not just in terms of intimacy in terms of sexual relations, but the word intimacy, the real intimacy, is when you into me, you see. Into me, you see. You see the honesty, the integrity, ensuring your most personal, private, you know, thinking, your feelings, your inhibitions, your fears, and all of that. That's not for everybody. Right. That's not for everybody. But this is very important. You understand, timing, as my grandmother say, time, you know, there's a time and a place, and sometimes the timing is not right up front. If you know you've made a 180-degree turn in your life, give that person opportunity to see who you really are now. It's not so important to introduce your past self to them right away because they'll run. They'll run, and they'll run fast from you, you know. So, you know, it's all about in terms of timing. And then when you establish yourself as to who you are now, so she can see or he can see who you are right now and all, and then later you can let it be known that this happened, that happened in my life. Sometimes people wouldn't even care to even ask or maybe not even want to know because of who they are seeing. right now. So make sure, as my mother used to say, put your best foot forward. Your best foot is the best of yourself. Introduce that self. And hopefully that's a sincere self. That's a self of honesty and integrity. You see? That's the advice I would say. So, you know, is we don't want to take something that is a good quality and say that you can be too honest. Just remember it's a time and a place for any and everything. I'll stop there.
Okay. Really great points. And so along those same lines, just a reminder, you are on a fact-finding mission as well. And so while you may ask these questions outright, you also ask them through your observation. You can observe
yes.
that potential to see their honesty, as well as this next question is, are you reliable? And you get to see them for their ability to keep their word, where they tell you're going to do something, you can depend on them, you can count on them for that, and so you can look for that. I also want to say about these two questions, if you have the questionnaire, you may want to highlight these two questions, because I would say that these are questions I would also ask someone extended from them. So I would ask their imam or a community member, their ex-wife if they've been married before, ex-husband if they've been married before. I would ask this of someone in their lives to see, are they honest and are they reliable? And then let them give you examples of that. So, you know, sometimes we ask other people, like, are they good? And they'll say, yes, well, what's good? That's relative. So this is a these two kinds of questions are questions you can ask to be really specific. So this next question is, are you reliable? Can you be dependable? Can you be counted on? And so I ask you this to see it with your mouth, see if you're going to tell me the truth, be honest, and to all see it with your actions. So that being reliable is a very important quality.
Yes, indeed, Karan. You hit the nail right on the head. Those two actually go together, honesty and reliability, or are you reliable? Meaning that, you know, your mate should know that they can actually depend on you, and then vice versa, that you can depend on them. Are you really reliable? Can I call on you? Can I count on you when I really, really need it? Or are you an unreliable person? You know, often you hear me say, you have to be the person that you want to meet. I'm going to say that again. You have to be the person that you want to meet. And so when we're looking for qualities in people, you know, and then, you know, we have our list. You know, we say you have your checklist. So reliable could pop up on a lot of lists, and this is both the male and the female. I think that the God-conscious people, men, are looking for God-conscious women that are reliable. And I think that God-conscious women are looking for men that are reliable, you know, in that regard. But you can't have on your list a quality, an interpersonal quality such as honesty nor reliability unless you have that. Why am I saying this? Because there is a law, it's called the law of reciprocity, you know, the law of reciprocity. And for those that, as a wordologist, realize each conscious initiative performed, return other conscious initiative to you. Realize each conscious initiative that's performed for me, and then you want to return other conscious initiative to you. You see, so there's an ebb and flow in the relationship. You know, both need to know and have the confidence that they can rely upon each other. You see, you know, you have to know that your wife will be there. You have to know that your husband will be there. And if they are not there, then something must have happened, because I know that they're very reliable. This has to be a part of your character, not just reputation. Because now remember, reputation is who people think you are. Character is who you really are. And as Quran so eloquently articulated, in the courtship, it's not only about good communication. It's also about observation. As I had an uncle once, he used to always say, you can make your mouth say anything. You can make your mouth say anything. But it's also very important that not only what I tell you, I show you. So it's about show and tell. Mm-hmm. You see, mm-hmm. So in your character, character always shows people who you are. You don't have to fake it until you make it. So to speak, that language, fake it until you make it. Well, you don't want a person faking like they're honest, and you don't want a person that's faking like they're reliable. You want to know for sure and be very confident that this is an honest person. This is a very reliable person. And then you don't have a problem actually showing that, you know, because there are going to be occasions where you're going to be tested in terms of your reliability. Mm-hmm. And so not to say that you're just doing it to test somebody to see that, but if you're a very astute observer in terms of that person, you'll be able to see this. When something has become a part of your character, it becomes habitual. It's there. That's why it is said that it begins with the word. And whatever the dominant word that's in your life, this produces the thought. But then we have to watch our thoughts, because whatever is the dominant thought in our life, this produces the action that it is that we take. And we have to watch our actions, because actions repeated over and over again, they call it habits. Habits. Mm-hmm. They can be your best friend or your worst enemy. But then our habits become our character. It becomes our character. And our character leads to a destiny. So if we want to have a good destiny, and we're talking about the sacred institution of marriage, and it is a sacred institution because it's the one that God established for his human creation, then we want to make sure that we have good character. And so good character would say, if we go in the reverse order, that we would have good habits because they've become a part of us. You know, you don't have to think about it. It just naturally happens if it's a part of your character, you see. And so the actions, you know, that we show, this is in our thought pattern. The thought, the consideration in all is there. And because we get that thinking from what words are we operating on. The best words that we could be and should be operating on is the word of revelation. What is it that God reveals to us in terms about us? What is it that we should be doing? Mm-hmm. What type of character should we have? You see? So when we look at it from that perspective, you know, starting with the word, it helps to shape and form our character. Now, everybody, words make people. But it can be a positive word or a negative word. So the question becomes, what word are you acting on? Mm-hmm. What word has shaped and formed your character? I'm not asking anybody to necessarily respond. It's a rhetorical question for you to answer with honesty and integrity. When it comes
but
to honesty and
reliability.
We have
push one.
Oh,
we've got
okay.
A couple of listeners. Yeah. So I would love to hear, you know, what their response is, and maybe.
Well, let's go to the callers and see what they have to say.
Okay. All right, do that. So 219-484. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. It's Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana.
Salam, Dr. Jamal Rashid. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You have a question, a comment, or what would you like to say about these two interpersonal qualities, and we own reliability. How important is that, Dr. Jamal Rashid?
Well, it's excellent. You know, you have expressed in a holistic way, you have explored the term. I wanted to go back to the term intimacy.
Intimacy,
that
yes.
You eloquently established in your dissertation. You know, people, when you mentioned perceptions, you know, the world can be misled and has been misled with false information that we know of, that they are more physicalized than they are abstract and spiritual. And with the false information, you know, people can be physically intimate, literally on top of each other for amount of time. But unfortunately, when it comes to the deeper and more meaningful aspects of intimate, you know, they could be the highest number, countless trillions of miles
yes.
apart when it comes to the intimate qualities that you referred to in your dissertation, as far as the higher meanings of integrity and trustworthiness and
mm-hmm.
honesty and sincerity and many other attributes that you have profoundly illustrated in your dissertation. So, you know, hopefully, you know, listeners can gravitate to the words that you express in looking at the more extended and truthful
mm-hmm.
form of education. And that's why we often mention that education is more and goes far beyond academics, because the academic world is on a physical level, and
yes.
that is the infant level of growth and development. And that's why, tragically, when people go astray, it's because of the false information that has misled them from the cradle.
Yes. Yes. Well, thank you. Alhamdulillah, Dr. Jamal, you really hit the nail on the head in regards to the statements you make. They are so well taken. And
mm-hmm.
we want to create the proper perception, since we're talking about courtship and marriage, and we're speaking about it from an Islamic perspective. But I think that this perspective is a shared perspective. I think our Christian brothers and sisters can share the same perspective, because truth is truth. And
yes.
we want say that, when you know the truth will actually free you, but it also will give you a clear perception of what it is all about, because so many of us have misconceptions and we have misperceptions, and this is why we are so misled and we have so much misunderstanding and so many mishaps and make so many mistakes, and we have to really work hard to dismiss this word, this myth that we is, because we have missed a lot in terms of what it is that we really need to know to have healthy, harmonious relationships. So I want to thank you for the outstanding work that you do, and to our radio listening audience, Dr. Jamal Rashid, one of the very distinguished, esteemed hosts on our sister station, AM 360, as he and Imam Henry Hasib joins him each and every Thursday morning on Solutions for Critical Issues. Solution for Critical Issues. Mm-hmm. You got to tune in and check it out each and every Thursday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern and 6 a.m. Central, 4 a.m. Pacific Coast time. So you have to rise and shine. If you make your Fajr prayer, just stay up, and you'll be in for a real treat. AM 360 Radio, 515-605 9891. You can call in and listen in, and they do invite you to make commentary on solutions for critical issues. So thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid. It's always an honor to hear from you here on IWDM.
Yes, I'd like to add one more thing. That's a part of Imam Muhammad's understanding of teaching about remaking the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And so that's a new form of intelligentsia.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes far beyond academics.
Academics.
So that is in itself is a true blessing to come into that horizon.
That's right. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal, for sharing with us. We appreciate you greatly. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1. Yes. Continue to listen. Press 1. Thank you so much. Karan, we got any other callers in the queue with their hands up?
Yes, we do have another caller, 267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. This is
alaikum
assalam.
I recognize my voice.
from the East Coast, part of the United States. But alhamdulillah, I think Mark made me push one, you know, when he was just reflecting on what makes you, what really operates off of what words or what thoughts do we have to really put us back on the balance of our life and really stay in tune with that which we want. And I was thinking, and I was just listening, and I was like, yeah, you know, I started questioning myself. And I said, love, you know, one thing that I reach back for no matter what happens, the word is love to me, you know. And no matter what, I know I'm not naive, but I just believe that love takes us back to no matter what happens in this world, it's love that takes me back to the balance in my relationship with my husband, my family, the community. No matter what, that word love and loyalty and laughter and living and wanting and life. And then life takes me to death and wanting paradise. So if I want paradise, I got to have love as the inner part of my spirit. Like my whole spirit needs to be thinking about what's the destination? What am I really looking for? And I'm looking for the Garden of Firdaus. I'm looking for Jannah. So if I can't enter Jannah unless I have love in my heart, I'm making sure that love is a part of my existence.
That's so beautiful, Rahima. You know, I have my sister listening in tonight. She's Christian. But I think our Christian brothers and sisters, they share that same sentiment in terms of love. And matter of fact, I just want to just say, you know, that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the prayers and the peace be upon the Prophet, he said that you can't enter into the paradise without first having faith. And then he said, you also have to love one another. So this becomes a prerequisite. Yeah. So, you know, I want to say to my sister, so when she says Jannah, you're saying paradise, that would be heaven. It's all the same. Back to the garden, it's all the same in terms of that, because we want to return back to that state. It's a heavenly state. It is paradise. And so this life that we have is a temporal life, but this is a testing ground to see which of us are best to re-enter that state, if you will. And so the Sacred Institution of Marriage actually is an aid and assistant for helping us to get back.
And Mark, I think it's Jesus, peace be upon him. He said, what did he say? He said, love thy brother, love thy sister. Love was one of his main purposes in this life. Like he came to love. He came with love. And I never forget one time this Christian, I was in the shoe store, and it was summertime, and it may have been hot to her, but I had a beautiful cotton dress on, but I was totally covered. And she kept on saying little understatements, oh, I know she hot. And I know she kept on, and so I just ignored her. I ignored her a couple of times. Then finally I looked at her, and I said, but it's hotter in hell. And she said, oh, how would you know? I said, because I read about it every day, and I know for a fact that's not what Jesus would be about. He's about love, and what you're exhibiting is not love. Because then she was, like, letting me know she was Christian, and then but she was making underlining statements about my garments. And, you know, I wear beautiful garments, Karan, you know.
Yes,
you know,
do.
So I'm like, why would she keep on saying that? But then I had to remind her about what Christ Jesus said. He wouldn't be talking like you. So are you really of Christ? Because that's not Christian-like for you to do that. So, you know, sometimes you have to know the scriptures to bring it back to everybody, mm-hmm. not just us Muslims, but Christians, Jews. Just know the scriptures so we can be reminders to one another, because that's what we're
yes.
here for.
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Well, I thank you so much, Rahima, for sharing that very timely message. And we do need that more and more today as we keep abreast of things that's happening in our
yes.
own locale, as we keep abreast of things that's happening nationally and internationally. We need that. But we also, I think more so than anything else, we need the word of revelation. We need what God has revealed to us. You see, we need that. And this is what is lacking today. We got so many misinformed. Dr. Jamal just went off. We got so many misinformed people. They're misinformed. They misunderstand. They're misled. We see so much in terms of mishaps that are happening because the truth has been misplaced for some. And so we need to get that truth, and we need to get the correction in terms of God is who we are and what our relationship is to God. You see, this is very, very important, and what our relationship is to each other in that regard. Mm-hmm. And so then it makes it easy. You know, even a baby knows, you know, when they cry, somebody's coming to attend to them and all. And so it may be juvenile love, but as they grow more and more and develop more and more, then the love becomes genuine. And we see that the baby, it grows up to be a child, then they begin to reciprocate that love. You know, so there's a difference. And so Almighty God has made it whereas that we are interdependent, not independent. Only the one that is the creator is independent. But we are interdependent, which meaning that we need each other. And so the more that we know how we are to treat each other and to exemplify that love, because that's a law of reciprocity. You know, as you give love, you should receive love. And if you're looking for a mate, you understand, so I'm looking for a loving mate, then you have to be a lover yourself. You have to be the person that you're looking for. So that is an important, very significant commodity. But as I said, the prerequisites for this premarital questionnaire is those things. And as we've learned here in Islam, that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb for love, for the gestation and the maturation of love. This is another very important and significant reason. So we'll stop there. There's much more we can say about that. But thank you so much for calling in and sharing with the IWDM radio listening audience. As-salamu
alaykum. Love y'all very much. Wa alaykum as-salamu
alaykum. We love you too. Alhamdulillah, press 1, Rahima, mm-hmm. as you go out. Karan, well, we're getting a lot of callers tonight. So anybody else?
Not right now. We still have listeners listening in, so we can continue with our question as we look at interpersonal qualities. And I think this next question goes along with the previous two, so we don't have to spend a lot of time on it.
Okay.
But I do think it's important for us to mention it, and that's just, are you punctual? Because, you know, that's a part of being reliable and being dependable, being on time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you can move
and
to the next one. I think that that's, we said we won't spend a lot of time with some of us, some self-explanatory, and want to just say to our radio listening audience, if you just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shahid. And we want to invite you to press 1 if you have a question or a comment, or if what you hear Karan saying or myself tonight, or even the callers that are calling in with some excellent information commentary, we do invite you to press 1, and Karan will notify me that you're in the queue with your hands up. So, Karan, let's continue to move with these interpersonal qualities, and what do we have next?
So the next, I'm going to put these three questions together, even though they're separate, and I think you should get separate answers for each one. I'm putting them together because I think they are related. And they are related in that what they're asking you about is your habits. How do you carry yourself in your personal space? And when you are, you know, dealing with situations in physically, and that is, are you neat? Are you sloppy? And are you lazy? And so this goes back to number one, being honest. So are you honest to say whether or not you're neat, you're sloppy, or you're lazy? And this last question, the lazy one, you know, what does that look like? Because sometimes we're lazy when it comes to making our prayers, or lazy when it comes to making our bed, or lazy when it comes to getting somewhere on time. What does that look like for you when you start defining these qualities? So I think that these are important. Yes, you can see a person with these habits, but I think these are important to ask just to see how will a person answer that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Karan, you know, when you look at those particular qualities, you know, just ask yourself the question that if you, you're not a neat person, you're an untidy person, and not only that, you're sloppy. You're just sloppy. And it doesn't bother you. This says something, I think, about the mindset of that person, the disposition that they have in terms of order and peace. You know, I have to say something in regards to something that our beloved leader, Imam Muhammad, taught us in terms of how Allah teaches us through the natural creation. He said that when you look up, and especially at night, you see in the sky, you see peace, you see order. I'm going to emphasize that. You see peace, you see order, and you see beauty. There's nothing that would disturb the peace of peaceful people than to be in a disorderly environment. There's nothing beautiful about disorder. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So when we see this in the natural creation, Imam Muhammad say, this is a sign. You see, the natural creation or the natural world is the big book. The big book that actually gives us a sign. In that are signs for those who reflect. Let's say reflect on what? Reflecting on the natural creation. This is a sign that this is what Almighty God, Allah, wants for us to have in our relationship. This should make sense to you. You want to have peace, you want to have order, and you want to have beauty. So that means it should say that what is inside of you in terms of your mentality, your disposition, what your heart being, your intentions, your motivation, desire, what it is that you have internalized in you, and also we can't forget about who you really are, your soul. The soul loves peace, order, and beauty. And so it should be reflected on the external as well as the internal. So it's very, very important. These should be some interpersonal qualities that looking at Allah's marvelous creation, looking at the order and the peace that's in this creation and the beauty that's in this creation should be a motivation, should be an incentive for us to want to have that in our environment and, you understand, in our relationship. So I just wanted to just say that, if that makes some sense to you. We'd like to get your response, and you can press 1. If you agree that that is something that you want to have, and Karan so eloquently talked about lazy, we've heard before that idle mind, and sometimes people are just, like you say, lazy. They don't want to do anything. I even heard most recently a young guy say he don't even want to think. Now, that is not lazy. If that doesn't personify lazy, and the Creator has given you a brain, an intellect, a mind to use, you know, I often say, I don't know where it came from, the NAACP or HBCU, but I correct people because it sounds good. Say, our mind is a terrible thing to waste. Sounds real good. But one of my favorite subjects was English grammar. And I know about the linking verb, and Karan, you're educated, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. The subject here is mine. The linking verb is. And what is it linking to in the predicate, in the sentence, and making this statement? The mind is a terrible thing? No. The mind is not a terrible thing. The mind is a valuable thing to waste. So when we're too lazy to even think for ourselves, what type of future can we have? Or what? So lazy, there's so many different components that we can look at lazy. And how far would you go in a relationship with a lazy person that don't have any ambition, no incentive, no motivation? They don't want to do anything. There's a lot more I could say about that. So we want to hear from you, radio listener audience, how important, and if you don't want to say much or what, but if this is important to you in terms of being neat, tidy, not sloppy, and not being lazy, you know, I think we should get a resounding 10 on this, from 10 being the highest and 1 being the lowest. How important is that to you in terms of the potential mate that you'd be looking for would not be untidy? And they might not be on the level that you might be on, but the willingness, you understand, to upgrade that, especially when you enter the sacred institution of marriage, how significant is that? From 1 to 10, press 1 and just share what your thinking is on that. Is that a 10? Is that a 9? Is it an 8? Can you deal with a person that's a 7? What about a 5? Anything below that? Or what? Press 1 and let us know.
All right, let's go to our line. Then we have one person, 219484. Welcome. State your name, where you're calling from. I think you've been on already. Go ahead.
Yes, Dr. Jamal Rashid.
I thought that was
you. Know,
yes.
You brought out a very, very valuable point in understanding one of the what we call the master keys that Imam Muhammad Rahim Allah Alay expressed.
Yes.
In definition, it's so valuable to understand the correct definition of what is meant. Because if that definition is hijacked or altered or distorted or misperceived or literally given false information, then the second step of this profound process in definition is instruction or direction in which the decisions are going to be made. So if that definition is messed up mm-hmm. everything else is going to follow suit
mm-hmm.
as far as the conclusion. And
yes.
that's what causes most problems, if not all problems, is because of the misconception or the misinformation
mm-hmm.
or the word that has been taken from its natural origin and reestablished, and using the word reestablished, but reintroduced in the society that is infectious.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then the diseases will grow from there.
That's right. That's right. You know, and just some valuable points that you're making. And I think what Imam Muhammad said is so profound. Oftentimes, the two means in which God teaches us, and we never really think about it, you know, but sometimes when these things are brought up in terms of correct information as opposed to misinformation, it helps to give formation to our life. You see, the word formation is in the word information, you see. So you want to be informed so that you can have the right formation in your life. What better source to go to than God's natural creation? It actually brings a calm, a serenity when you just, if you ever been out on a nice night and you look up, you understand, into the sky, and you see the moon there, and you see the stars out, you know, when you can look at this natural creation and you can see peace and harmony. There's other celestial bodies out there, but we don't get any reports where it's chaos that's there. And so when we see the chaos that's happening in the society today, and then we see chaos not only in the society, but also in our communities, the chaos in family relationships, and most certainly the chaos in the sacred institution of marriage relationship, you see. So this is not anything that you see in the natural creation. It's not revealing that to you, but it's revealing to you and I what it is that God wants for the human creation in terms of our interaction with each other, starting with marriage life and then family life and then neighborly life, community life, you see. How it is that we are to interact with each other, where there is peace, not chaos, where there is order, not disorder, where there's beauty and not ugly. You see, we don't see too many beautiful things, so at least we're not getting reports, and we know that beautiful things are actually happening, but they don't take a precedent in terms of mainstream media. So you have to come to programs like this and give an endorsement for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It should be a learning lab and all that, where you can get correct information to say what it is that we should be doing and how it's supposed to be. What it is and what it should be, they could be as far from each other as the North is from the South. We know what it should be, but we have to work to produce
and
a jet.
If I can may say, in spite of the clear evidence that you are illustrating, you know, the society is still in fear of peer pressure.
Yes.
Meaning that they would do what we consider politically expedient, and that's the same as immediate self-gratification. They would choose that over doing what's morally correct. Right.
Yes.
All the clear evidence that you have illustrated as far as this is common sense.
Yes.
You know, as far as which way you would go. But in spite of that, people are afraid, when you're speaking of freedom, to express themselves freely because they are stuck on their own self-interest.
Yes. It's so unfortunate. Thank you so much, Dr. Rashid. You hit the nail on the head again, brother. And so we have to expand our interest and that concern just only in terms of self-interest because we can't just grow. As a matter of fact, I want to give a word, selfish, an acronym for selfish. The acronym is when you look at yourself as selfish, you're thinking extra low. You find individual success hard. You think extra low. You find individual success hard because Allah didn't create us. God didn't create us to be alone by ourselves. That's why we're talking about the sacred institution of marriage. And then those people, they convince themselves, I love being by myself. You know, I don't need nobody in my life. Well, you know, we can say things in that self-talk. We need to watch the self-talk. We need to watch what it is that we say to each other. You know, because we can bring into reality those things that we most certainly talk about the most to ourselves. So that's not part of God's will and plan. That may be your plan, but that's not God's plan. So we got to get in touch with God. Thank you so much, and may Allah continue to bless you and us and all. Assalamu alaikum. As you exit, please press 1 and go out the queue. Karan, do we have any others with their hands
that's
up? Or can we?
Now.
Well, let's move on to the next one. We're doing pretty good here tonight.
Yes, we are. All right, so the next question, I'm not sure you may have something to say around it. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, and that is, are you handy around the house? Do you defer to a professional tradesman?
Okay.
And that can go either from male or female.
I think, you know, that might be more of a question that maybe the woman would ask the man, are you handy around the house? Now, I know, you know, that some women, not by choice, maybe because of situation and circumstances, they had to shore up some skills to do this or do that. But that might be a question that women would ask the man, are you handy around the house? If something needs to be done, you know, that you could do it. Or then the willingness to make sure that those things that you can't do, that you would get those things done, you know.
Right.
So that's just a good commodity to have in a man. If he hand it around the house, he can fix this, he can fix that. He can change the light bulbs when they blow out or what. All those type of things, et cetera, et cetera. You know, handy around the house, or do you always have to call somebody from the outside to come in? You know, are you a pretty good painter or what, you know, in that regard? So those are just good things just to know, but to know that whenever you live in any place, it has to be cared for, the upkeep of it. So it's good information to know. I wouldn't say that would be something that would be a deal breaker, especially brothers, if you say, well, I'm not, you know, you being honest, I'm not so handy around the house, but if something breaks down, I'll make sure that it gets fixed right away, dear. I think she'd be okay with that. Let's keep moving, Karan.
Yeah, so the next question, I'm going to link it with the one that comes after it. But I want us to really talk about this because I think this is where real challenges come in relationships. We haven't really looked at the temperament of a person. And that is, do you anger? How would you assess your tendency to become angry? What things cause you to become angry? And then the question that comes after that, that I'm linking to that, and we can discuss them interchangeably, are you abusive? And that abuse is physically and verbally, or physically or verbally. So when we look at anger, you know, sometimes in our anger, what happens is as people, we are emotionally stuck in certain ages of our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when things happen to us, we may respond with certain behaviors. So if we respond with a temper tantrum, it could be that something happened to you between the ages of 2 and 4, because that's the ages when tantrums happen. So something happened there that you didn't quite resolve, and so your way of responding is with anger. And then again, there are others who, when they are angry, they shut down and they don't respond at all. They just don't say anything. And sometimes that can be related to something that happened to you in your years of communication when that's formed. So it could be between 10 and 13, somewhere in there. So I'm saying that from the psychological point of view, but for you to definitely hone in on how you manage anger. Do you anger? And how do you have the tendency to become angry? And then what things cause you to become angry? These that are abusive. Do you do things that are abusive because of your anger?
Yes. Yeah, alhamdulillah. No, those questions that you're asking, I'm hoping that everybody are trying to answer those questions for themselves in with honesty, integrity, and transparency. Let me share something with you, because the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is the prayers and the peace be upon him, gave us a very profound hadith. It's a sahih hadith. I want to share this with you. And when I share it with you, I want you to think about which one of these categories are you in. The Prophet said this. He said that there are four categories in which everyone falls into when it comes to anger. I want you to listen very, very carefully, and I want you to assess yourself with honesty and sincerity to see where you fall with this emotion called anger. He said one category, there are those who are quick to anger, but they are quick to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. And then he said that there are those who are slow to anger, but they are slow to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. Now listen very carefully. Then he said the best of you are those who are slow to anger, but quick to cool down. And then listen carefully. And then he said, the worst of you are those who are quick to anger but slow to cool down. Now, so when we're looking at that, the latter one, that's a red alert. That's not only a caution flag, but that's a red flag. And we know that in the traffic signal, it means stop. To stop. You know, because if you're quick to anger, but you slow to cool down, usually that person is always in anger mode. Either when you see them, they're angry about something, or something is getting ready to make them angry right away. Usually in anger mode. Let's look at the first two. Those that the prophet said that fall into the category that are quick to anger, but quick to cool down. Being quick to cool down is positive. That's a good thing. So that person have to work on not being so quick to anger. But once they get angry, it doesn't stay there very long. They're quick to cool down. The second one, the category, is those who are slow to anger, but once you get them angry, they're slow to cool down. So that quality that is a good one, they're slow to anger. But once you get them angry, they slow to cool down. So they have to work on being slow to cool down. But he said the best of you are the ones that are slow to anger, but quick to cool down. So which meaning that in the human nature, you can be angered. You can be angered. It's an emotion that you can be angered. Very few people will do what this one lady did when her son was killed by a drunk driver. Mm. And she channeled her anger. Dr. Jamal often talk about the duality of things. And so there's a duality in which anger can be channeled to do something positive. And what she did, she aligned herself with other mothers that had similar experience, that their children or loved one was killed by a drunk driver, driving while intoxicated, and established what is called MAD, M-A-D-D,
yeah.
Mothers, mm-hmm. Lines against Mothers Against Drunk Driving. So that was a channel of anger. Let me also share this here with you, what the prophet said. We want to offer some solution for this and see if this works, especially if you're in that last category, those who are quick to anger but slow to cool down. So when you get angry, the prophet said, he said this. He said, if you're standing up, then you should sit down. I want you to watch the natural progression, and I'll come back and give a little commentary on why he's saying what he's saying. If you are angry and you're standing up, then you should sit down. And then he said, after you sit down, if you are still angry, he said, then you should lay down. And then he said, if you are still angry while you're laying down, can't rest, you're still angry. Then he said, for Muslims, he said, you should get up. You should make wudu. Wudu is ablution. It's a preparation before you pray. He said, you should make wudu. And then he said, then you should make prayer. Now, why is this important? Because people, when they're angry and they're standing up, you got more movement. You got access to everything, your hands, your feet. We hear about people being so angry that they punch holes in the wall, kick holes in the wall. You know, I'm talking about men primarily in terms of that. But we also, if we haven't seen it in our lifetime, we've most certainly seen it in the movies or on television, where even women get angry and they begin to throw lamps or glass or something because they're so angry, you see. So when you sit down, you restrict your movement in what it is that you can actually do when you're in a state of anger. This, and pay attention to the progression here. And if you're still angry, then you should lay down. Laying down takes away all of your movement, because now you are laying down. Can't use your feet to bring about destruction or your hands to bring about destruction. Your body is laying down. But if you're still angry at that point, then ablution, or wudu as we say, ablution, for the make prayer is a prerequisite. It puts you in the right frame of mind and the disposition that you have to go to prayer, because God says in our book that you can't go to prayer with a befogged mind. Anger blows out the lamp of the mind, whereas it's a befogged mind. Anger has consumed you to the point where you can't think straight. I've heard people say, I see red when they get angry. So, you can't go to prayer in an anger state.
Mm-hmm.
Anger, you understand, you can't bring that to prayer. It becomes a common, amongst all the beneficial things of prayer, it brings about a common effect on you when you are praying sincerely. Notice I said sincerely praying. It brings a common effect. Because now you're speaking and talking to your Lord and Creator. And I'm saying this for the Christian. The same will be applicable to you all of those steps, and you get to where you're still angry, you're laying down, whatever your mode is in terms of preparing yourself to pray to your Lord and Creator, then you should do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sincerely doing that, it would bring a sense of calm to you too. This is one of the benefits of praying and being prayerful in that regard. So I wanted to share that for those that may be working on not so quick to get angry, you know, but you quick to cool down. This will help you. And if you slow the anger, but once you get riled up, you really riled up, it will help you to be able to cool down better. But you want to get to the point where as that the best, as the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him, has said, the best of you are the ones that are slow to anger, but they're quick to cool down, you see. So it's a human emotion that sometimes can be triggered by things. And then so when we're talking about the sacred institution of marriage and getting to know each other, this is something you have to talk about. Everybody's been socialized or acculturated in a certain way. So there's triggers. Trust me, there are triggers. When you talk about anger, you have to ask the question. I'm telling you, you have to ask the question. You know, think about those categories. Assess yourself first. What category do you fall in? You don't have to, you don't say, no confession here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, but you have to properly assess yourself. And then you have mm-hmm. to ask that person, what category do you fall in?
Mm-hmm.
And then in that conversation that you have with that person in terms of anger, you want to know, what are your pet peeves?
Right.
What really irritates you? You see, this is a part of getting to know the person, you know. What may anger one person may not anger somebody else. It may not even disturb mm-hmm. them. They don't see anything wrong with it. But this is like what Cran said in terms of fact-finding. See, because it's some things that will disturb some people, and it may not even disturb the other. And maybe they're doing something unconsciously. So you have to talk about this emotion. This is a very important emotion to talk about, Quran. And, you know, we can continue this, you know, the next production. But this is one emotion that have brought about the dissolution of many, many marriages.
Yeah.
And unconsciously, people, it happens all the time. And mm-hmm. some people are totally out of control when they become angry. But if you follow those steps and say, I really want to curtail my anger, I really want to control and patrol any anger that may come up in me, and I want to get to that state, that category that the Prophet has said, the best. He said the best of you are the ones that are slow to anger, but they're quick to cool down. That's where it is that we want to go. The other three, hopefully you're not in the last one, that the worst person, because you're not ready to be with anybody. Sometimes you may not be able to stand yourself if you're the type of person that's quick to anger, but slow to cool down. It's like James Brown said in one of his songs, I can't even stand myself. And when you come back down, you say, oh, my God, I don't never want to be in that state anymore.
Yeah.
So I'll stop there, Quran, and I know that we're getting close to the top of the hour. We've had some great audience participation here tonight on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So I don't think we have time to go into anything more, but you might want to give some commentary on that, or at least some closing commentary on what you would like to leave with our radio listening audience, correct?
Yes, indeed. And it was just two more questions in here, and I think those are questions. I'm going to challenge you, dear listeners, to get the link and go and see what those last two questions are. in this category on interpersonal relations, and I think it's very important for us to be those really seeking real information so that we can really beautify this bedrock of our community relations, and that is marriage. We want to make and build stronger marriages, and that happens when we are intentional about how we seek our mates and how we improve on our relationship and how we deal with one another inside of our relationship. So that's the most important thing I want to share to our listening audience. And I just want to thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each week on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, we ask you to tell a friend. And I mean that sincerely. Tell a friend, because we want to grow those who are interested in improving those relationships. We ask you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. We ask you to stay connected with us. If you have questions and comments, share it on social media. And you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Continuing this dialogue next week when we look at the premarital questionnaire, we get into the next phase of this. So back to you, Mark.
Well, I want to say all the praise and thanks belongs to God. This has really been, I think, a very invigorating, very informational, and hopefully very educational learning lab tonight. I want to thank you, Karan Shakir, as always, for the insight and wisdom that you share each and every Thursday with us and been sharing for a long, long time as a columnist in the Muslim Journal. I want to thank our radio listening audience for tuning in and staying with us throughout the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight. We hope that everybody has benefited, and especially those persons who called in tonight with some excellent commentary. We had a lot of participation in the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which Karan and I, we really love. Want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Jumu'ah Day in the Muslim world worldwide. For those of you who are immobilized and can't get out and about to your local masajids and Islamic centers across the country, you can call back into IWDM Radio with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sair, longtime resident Imam of Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And that begins each and every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Every Sunday is the longest-running production that we have on IWDM Radio. That is Words Make People. Words Make People, once again, with Imam Mikhail Sair, as he always has very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And at the beginning of the week, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, along with his returning guest instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yeah, that's right, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. So everything that God has created, including your health and yourself, is a part of creation. There's a science, and so they're talking about the 11 systems that Almighty God has given all human beings, how to keep yourself really healthy scientifically. So you want to bring your pen and pad to that and make it a family affair. That happens each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Tuesday night. And Wednesday, the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where our very distinguished, esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin, she joins me, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday, except for the first Wednesday of the month. And that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We just concluded accelerated version of the 21 Indispensable Qualities of a Leader, which was vision. And we're going to be really excited. Well, of course, next week she won't be with us. She has a she has a vacation coming up. I should just say that vacation, and we pray a lot that she's safe and a safe return. So we might be looking at the Honorable Judge Joe Brown or somebody else that we may have on as a special guest facilitator. And then the week following that, we're really excited this new publication that I have that we're going to begin on, and you really want to be here for that learning lab. It is titled Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. Now, you don't want to miss that. I know too many that have acquired the parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And that's going to be the next textbook that we'll be using on that learning lab. So you really want to stick and stay on straight away on that. And following that learning lab, and maybe next week we'll have the Honorable Judge Joe Brown back with us, and we'll talk about something in terms of parenting and family reconstruction. And so following that is the MGM Roundtable. We'd like to always present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. And we're going to have a very, very special guest. I'm going to keep it a secret. As last night, I know all of you, we got some great reviews from Imam Shahid Abdullah. It's his fourth publication, Uncovering the Scheme, Preventing, is preventing the, and I can't think of it, the evolution of African-American culture. That is preventing the evolution of African-American culture. It's an excellent publication. I just received an autographed copy from him, and just so to say, Rashid Salam, we are ordering a case of books to send them. We're going to help them sell those books. This is something that you really need to get. So go back into the archives, get that information, and purchase that book. It is well worth it and all. And so we also want to remind you that our beloved sister, Fitra Muhammad, with Study Out Islam, will make its return this Sunday. That is June the 12th. For those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it's 10 a.m. for you Sunday morning. Central Standard Time Zone is 9 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, it'll be 7 a.m. for you. And so stay tuned, you understand, or go to the website of Study Out Islam to get the information as to the new call-in number. And they're going to begin to do it by Zoom, but you also have a call-in number for those of you who may not be computer savvy. You can still get that great information. And last but not least, we want you to support the Muslim Journal as we do here on IWDM Radio. Make sure you subscribe to the journal and think about somebody that you can make a gift to in terms of getting a subscription for them, maybe a family member, a friend, associate, a neighbor, or maybe the library where many, many people can read the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. So once again, thanks to Quran Shakir, and thanks to you, radio listening audience. Until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.